being as it's New Year's Day, January 1st, I can make some assumptions with most of you this morning. Some of you probably went out and enjoyed a nice evening, dinner, maybe just the two of you, maybe a party at your house or someone's home. Maybe you watched some really incredible football games, namely the one between Georgia and Ohio State. Maybe you were just frustratingly taking down Christmas decorations at a very odd hour of the night. Who knows? But if I were a betting man, I would bet my money that most of us stayed up too late last night, and that most of us probably got up earlier than we prefer to be here this morning. Now, again, a very gross assumption, but probably more correct than I would estimate. So, bearing in mind all that information, I want to just level up with you right off the bat this morning. If you need to rest, if you need a little breather while I'm talking, take your rest. Come to God's house to find what you need. If you need to sleep, I will not hate you for it. And I'll level up with you on this one, too. This will not be the longest sermon that you have ever heard. So if you stay tuned in, I will get you out of here early in a very healthy way. And I say all that to say this. What I have to share with you this morning, it may be a little more brief than what's usually shared here on a Sunday morning during the sermon time, but I feel it's important. And I feel it can be said simply and concisely and effectively. And I feel that it's something that we all need to hear during this time of the year as we get our bearings straight for another year of life, another year of faith, another year of service in God's kingdom. So, if we all agree to just sort of tune in and focus for what time we're together, I promise and I hope that we'll leave this place a little earlier than usual, but engaged and focused on what God has shared with us this morning. So with that in mind, if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn with me to the book of James, chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. And if you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. We'll have it here on the screen in just a moment. So James, chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, well, you have faith and I have deeds. Well, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you
my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Well, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, a new year brings lots of new things, namely, lots of new resolutions. And they all try to help us answer the question, who am I going to be this year? In many ways, who you are or who you decide to be impacts what you do. And today, we're going to ask ourselves this question and reflect on it for a little while this morning. This question, What am I going to do this year? Now, you see, the faith we profess and hold to, it's a faith that is meant to be lived out and shared with others. It's meant to be shared with them through tangible acts of service, sacrifice, and compassion. Now, as we just heard in his letter to the early church, James told Christians then, and he's talking to us just the same today, that unless God's love was being lived out and shared with others, then the kingdom would never grow and lives would never be changed. See, when we live out what we've come to believe with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, we're not just sharing kindness and compassion with our world. We're not just being nice people. Y'all, we are sharing the hope of Jesus Christ. And you know what? This is a big job that each and every one of us has been tasked with. And because it is so big and so important, we need to pray and we need to think carefully about what kind of gospel impact we're going to make in the year ahead. Now, thankfully, we don't have to do that all by ourselves. None of us has to do it alone. We have the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. We have all those unique gifts, skills, and abilities that God has equipped each and every one of us with. And we have our brothers and sisters in Christ who are there to work alongside us as we seek to love God, love people, and live the gospel. Friends, we have tremendous resources and relationships at our disposal. We have a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. And we have a mighty God who has created us for such a time as this. And what a time this is, am I right? This world we live in needs to see your faith in action. The people you know need to know that you care about them, that you care about their faith, their life, all of it, as messy as it could ever be. In this world, friends, it needs disciples of all ages, backgrounds, races, and experiences who are willing to engage our culture with humility, kindness, and courage. This morning, we come acknowledging that we serve a great God who has set us apart for great things. So what are you going to do for him this year? Now, rather than just listening to today's sermon, I want you to treat it as an opportunity for self-reflection as we ask ourselves three important questions that I hope will prepare us for meaningful service in God's kingdom throughout 2023. And the first question is this: what needs exist in my church and community? You know, a lot of times we don't put our faith into action because we don't know where to start. We are aware of the enormity of so many big problems and issues and needs all around the world that we struggle to identify how we can make an impact when the needs are so great. And because of that, we often find ourselves doing nothing. If I can't make that kind of huge global impact, then why do anything at all? I don't want you to be self-defeated as the year begins. I don't want you to think that you can't do anything. Instead of thinking about the big, enormous, complex things that are happening in our world that are true, pressing needs for so many people, friends, just start where you are. Start where you are. And where you are, in most cases, is your church and your community. It's where you live. It's where you're called to. It is where you belong. You know, each year, there are ongoing needs in our church and in our community, but the needs also change drastically from year to year, it seems. I first came to this church in 2013, and the needs of that church and community that time are nothing like they are necessarily now in 2023. We have to adapt. We have to understand. We have to grow. But the one thing we can't do is just presume to know what the needs are. Too many times we start with a good idea, and this sounds like something we could really do to make an impact. This would be an impact I would like to see, but is it an impact that is needed? Is it a need that actually exists, or is it one that we just assume exists out there? Friends, God has called us to understand what needs exist in our church, and He's in our community as well. And He's called us to find out what those needs are by listening, by asking questions, and better understanding what it is that is going on in us and around us and where those needs are. But at the end of the day, it's not just enough to know what those needs are, is it? Awareness isn't enough. You know, throughout His life in ministry, when Jesus came across a need, He was always moved to act. Knowing that there was a need was never, ever enough for Jesus. He always found a way to help. And we, as His children and as His church, must do the same. When we become aware of needs in our church and community, our hearts and our souls must be stirred to action. No matter our age or how much we've already done, there's always something more that we can do to meet those needs. The second question I want us to reflect on is this: how has God positioned me to help meet those needs? Now, once you know what needs exist around you, how will you help to meet them? Well, first, you've got to consider what gifts, skills, and abilities you already possess. Because maybe you're already prepared to meet those needs and you just don't know it yet. So think to yourself, what are you good at? What are you passionate about? And what are things that others see in you that you may not even see in yourself? Because oftentimes, God can work through the people around you to help to identify what it is that you are truly and absolutely gifted and set apart for, not just in ministry, but in life itself, for service in God's kingdom. Or maybe, just maybe, you're absolutely, definitely, 100% not ready at all to meet those needs. What do you do then? Well, you can start by praying about it. That's where you absolutely should start each and every time. But, and please don't take me for a heretic when I say this, if all you're doing is praying about it, friends, it's not enough. That's because God has gifted each and every one of us with an inquisitive mind and the ability to learn new things. And if we don't already possess those gifts and skills and abilities that are required to meet these needs that exist around us, y'all, it's our responsibility to go and acquire them. All because you don't have what it takes right now doesn't mean that you never will. After all, the Christian life is a life of constant growth and transformation. So if you don't have what is needed for the needs that exist right now, then go, grow, learn, and then do. We can always do more than we imagine that we're capable of. And the third and final question I want us to think about is this: what do I need to give up in order to do what God's called me to do? This is where the rubber usually meets the road. Years ago, I heard somebody make this applicable in my life at the time. But when you say yes to something, you're saying no to a lot of other things that could be taking up the same time and attention. By saying yes to being here at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, you said no to anything else you could be doing during this hour of your time of your life. So as you consider what it is that God has equipped you to do, what He's called you to do to help meet the needs that exist around you, what are you going to have to give up in order to do the thing that God has equipped you and called you to do? Because, friends, we can't be faithful servants in God's kingdom if we keep trying to do what we've always done. As much as we might try and tell ourselves otherwise, There's never enough time. There's never enough energy. There's never enough you. So what things need to be left behind in 2022 in order for you to be a more faithful follower and servant in 2023? You know, this is a new year, full of all sorts of new possibilities. So don't let the baggage of this past year hold you back in this new year. Leave behind what you must in order to experience the fullness of life right here, right now. And as you do, consider what kind of impact you can make in your church and your community. You know, there are lots of needs that surround us each and every day. And as we enter this new year, as a church and as a community, as we become aware of needs, as you become aware of opportunities, don't just say, someone else can do it. There must be somebody else who's ready for it. This isn't my thing. Because if we just keep presuming that somebody else will do what is needed to meet this need, guess what happens? Nobody does anything. Friends, we have such a rich and powerful faith that brings us life, peace, security, and hope. Not to mention joy and love and all those many gifts that we talked about during the Advent season. And those are gifts that are meant to be shared. Those are gifts that are meant to be lived out. And while we might think these are enormous needs around us that we can never begin to meet, we've got to remember that God has equipped us and positioned us to meet them head on so that others can experience the hope of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what it's always ever been about. That's what it's always going to be about. Sharing the hope of knowing, loving, and serving Jesus Christ. So what are you going to do this year? How will you be of service? And what lives are you going to impact with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you pray with me? God, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There's never been a time when you were not. And as one year ends and another begins, we praise you for being the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for loving us, even though we don't deserve it. Father God, this morning we pray that you would stir us to action in the year ahead so that our faith may come alive and bless the lives of those within our church and especially those outside of it. Prompt us to reach people who don't know you and help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to lead them closer to faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.